4CF Mobile.
KO4KCL Mobile.
KCL, I believe it was. KO4CEM. How's it going this evening?
Too bad. On our way down to Pelzer with my little child to pick up some animal feed.
What you got?
Full passel of chickens, a couple of goats, a rabbit, a couple of dogs, a couple of cats, a little menagerie.
It sounds like it. Name here's Andrew.
Nice to meet you, Andrew. My name is Barrett. Hail from out of Clemson.
Hey, yeah, I'm on the north end of Spartanburg. This is where I hang out at, and except for driving to work. And I go to a Greer, and that's about it.
Pleasure to meet you.
Is he picking up animal feed for every animal, or you just get chicken feed or something?
Today's batch is going to be for all of them. Trying to do, I go about once a month to pick up their feed.
It's a pretty penny, though.
Definitely is a pretty penny when it comes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had some chickens before. I've never raised any goats or anything. The chickens were fun. I always wanted to get some more, but then I just think about them pooping everywhere, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that again.
That really is probably my least favorite part about the chickens. At least the goats have a nice up in woodlands and fields to poop in. I don't really got to worry about them.
I used to let mine run around in the backyard. They'd get off on the deck and everything else next to the pool. Like, no, I can't do this.
4KCL. I think I went through a dead spot. You copy?
Went.
My apologies. You dropped. I heard you trailing off, and then I didn't hear anything and couldn't get out.
That's a downside to VHF.
Out here, hopefully, just trying to figure out exactly what kind of capabilities my little mobile unit has. I'm borrowing one from a friend until I can get something else. And it's my go-to mobile in the truck as well as taking it inside to use as a base station at home.
You're definitely hitting the repeater really well. I mean, I really hear any noise in the background or anything, so your radio's doing fine.
Definitely good to hear. What kind of shenanigans y'all got planned for the weekend?
The wife's got planned yet. Well, we're going to have to wait and see. I'm just hoping we see a little bit of snow tonight or tomorrow. Still have to go to work, but you know, it is what it is.
I am. Looking forward to, I got a couple days off today and tomorrow. Hopefully get to see a little winter weather before I go back to work on Saturday.
Well, I'm really hopeful. I try to be pessimistic so I don't get my hopes up, but you know, at the end of the day, I would love to see some decent snow so I can get out in the yard and go sledding with the kids.
I seem to remember way back in, when I was younger, going up to like Sassafras Mountain and doing some sledding and whatnot. And I just don't think I've ever seen any good sledding snow, it seems like, for the past decade or so.
Not the greatest. I know a couple years ago we had some decent snow up towards where I live in the north part of Spartanburg. I mean, it wasn't nothing great, but once you got it packed down and whatnot, then you could really start sledding on it. So usually what I do is I get my boys on the sled and I'll push them to get a good channel going, and then the more they go down, the better it'll get.
I did a little bit of sledding when I was younger, but I think most of my fun came when I got about driving age, and me and my brother and my cousin would fling each other around the pasture on a car hood with a pickup truck, and that was some fun times right there.
A lot of fun. I know when I was a kid, I don't remember if it was back in the 80s or 90s, when we had a real good snow, and me and my buddy rode a four-wheeler, and we pulled one of us and a kiddie pool down Highway 221 using a sledding rope to pull it. Yeah, that was, it was hilarious, but it was a lot of fun.
My dad used to tell stories about wrapping car hoods around telephone poles. Apparently, back when he was younger, they had so much snow they could feel it was pretty good flooding on the roads. Most of the things I see now are just ice storms. The only thing that really comes down is trees.
And I know last year we had a light dusting. I mean, it wasn't a whole lot. I know my kids got out and played with it while I was at work. I was a little disappointed because by the time I got off work, everything was gone. I mean, it was all melted. But, you know, that's the way it goes.
Biggest thing that ticks me off about winter weather is that it'll come down, but the ground temperature is never going to be freezing or below, and then once it all dries up, then all of a sudden we're down to like 30 and 20 some odd degree weather.
4CKK.
Probably the way this weekend is, I mean, it's fairly warm. It'll cool down, but I don't know if everything will be cold enough for it to really start sticking for a while, but I guess we'll wait and see what happens.
CKK.
KO4CKT.
You guys must be natives from here. Am I correct in that assumption?
I myself was born and raised in Central.
Born and raised out in upstate Spartanburg.
Well, this is Mark, by the way. So if you guys grew up in the snow like I did, I'm originally from West Virginia, snow is not an exciting really thing anymore. The last 2 years I lived here, which was 92, 93, I was wading snow drifts that were chest high.
I'd like to visit and enjoy and then come back home too. I like the snow, I just don't know if I don't want to live in it for, you know, weeks or months at a time is when you get to the northern climate.
Well, I can remember back in my day having at least 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks out of school because we couldn't get, you know, out the roads and stuff. And our buses all ran with chains, and we still couldn't get around. I mean, once you were home, you were home. Just kept the fire going and kind of stayed in and ate soup and deer meat.
Right. My mom's from West Virginia, and that's what she says. Like, when I talk about snows, it's just not so common down here. She really don't want anything to do with it. She grew up in West Virginia, and that's the way it was. It was normal, and really don't want anything else to do.
Well, that is an absolute fact. I mean, I lived there from, I guess, 72 to 94. Yeah, I've had my fill. I mean, it's beautiful. It's enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. I was hearing y'all talk about, you know, riding sleds and such, and of course I've done a lot of that. And that's about the fun part. I kind of like it when it goes away and I can still get home instead of pushing snow out of the driveway with the front end of my car.
Feed store, I'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
I'm going to try to tell some snow stories myself, but I can't beat the ones from West Virginia, KA2TXJ. I was from New Jersey.
Surprising being that far north.
But it didn't last for weeks, but had a few snow days over the course of my school career, but we occasionally had a couple of feet every few years or so.
One I remember is in 78. And I think we got 4.5 feet overnight.
A storm in New Jersey brought us about probably 2.5 feet.
For sure.
A lot of fun until you have to drive in it.
I'd love to keep the conversation going, boys, and unfortunately I have to do that so nasty thing of stopping at Walmart and getting milk and bread. Actually, just gotta have it. We're out.
Doing a pretty good business there, although they did have milk. All right, jump out. This is K2TXJ.
Your brother. It's KO4CKK. Appreciate the conversation, you guys. Enjoyed it. 73 to you. I'll be clear.
73 is KO4CEF, and I'll be clear.
KN4VWA, W4DJW. Is that you, Steve?
4EDA.
What's on my front porch?
3 packages.
Okay, I'll go check.
10-4-EDX.
N4EDX, W4DJW. I already got those 3 for Amy. That must have been a while ago. I just went out there. There was one for me that had Maggie's dog food in it. That's about it.
Years ago, I delivered them, and I did this just for some holiday money, and UPS is running way behind. They're not behind as much as we're delivering for Prime, and believe it or not, U.S. Postal Service. Just catching them up, but they ask us to stick around till the 15th, and the money is fantastic doing this, so I said, yeah, I'd do it another 2 weeks.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm thinking about retiring. I might pick up that hobby, too.
Job, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of heavy stuff, and there's some times when I go home with a backache.
Yeah, it'd probably take me a while to get in shape enough to do that. You gotta be in good shape, I suppose. I suppose that gets you in good shape after a while, though.
Yeah, let me run to the door. I got one to deliver. I'm just probably not even half. I've been doing subdivisions, so I'm probably not more than half a mile from you the way the crow flies.
All right, well, be careful out there. 4EDX, W4DJW. I'll see if Steve's out there. KN4VWA, W4DJW.
Dave, N4DJC, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jerry. I just got some stuff ready to go flying Saturday. I'm seeing if I can get Steve and David to go out to the airfield.
That sounds like that'd be fun. If the weather's good, is it supposed to be pretty good by Saturday?
Well, I forgot about them saying snow's going to come in here. Snow comes at the worst time. Yes, snow's supposed to be here Friday, I guess, by Saturday. The stuff I got can fly in snow. It doesn't matter, but it does if my car can get in there. That's the only thing. I can fly in the snow. Just don't know if I can get to the airfield in the snow. My truck is in the shop being worked on. All I got's a car.
I'd imagine if it was... went too early in the morning, it would probably be fine by then. I haven't even looked at the weather, to be honest. I don't pay much attention to it unless I know I got to go somewhere. But I did notice this morning that I saw the blue and the pink and the white stuff on the TV screen. So it looked like it was. Of course, you're up in Greer anyway, aren't you?
Yeah. Were they saying it's going to be a lot, or were they saying it's going to be a little? I know my wife said yesterday, she said snow on Friday, and that's all I heard. And I haven't looked at the weather since then.
I'd be up above you, where I think they said it may accumulate to an inch, maybe a couple places, but it looked like it was kind of, you know, coming down through TR in that way, but I don't know whether they've changed this yet or not. I think they updated the forecast, and I hadn't paid any attention to it. My daughter would kill me if she works at WIFF, but I don't watch much of her news. Sometimes she doesn't blame me, though.
Say she works for YFF?
An assistant news director.
Oh, wow. How about that? Small world. Well, great. That is good.
She went to Winthrop and got a degree in mass communication and broadcast stuff. And one of the guys working for a time, so he said, she'll never find a job in that. And I thought, well, you don't know her. And while she was in school, she interned there, and they offered her a job as soon as before she graduated. So she's been there, I think, 18 years now.
Wow, that is good. Getting them in as an intern is a good thing. I just got one of those last year. She finished her first year in December, and she turned out to be really, really good. That intern stuff really works.
I'm interested in being a reporter or anchor or anything like that. She could certainly be. She looks like one, but she never wanted to do that. She wanted to be a producer. She started out as an assistant producer, I believe. And so she worked, does all the work, works the boards and everything, but me, and does the editing for the writes the story sometimes. Of course, the anchors, you know, they always touch it up. They got their own way of saying things and doing things. And she got a good relationship with everybody there. She really enjoyed it there. It's one of those things where if you find something you love, stick with it. She's done it, and she's really enjoyed it. It's always nice to hear, even though it's been that long ago, hear somebody that graduates from the field and gets to work in the field for a good bit of a career.
When you're in a conversation with her, does she correct your grammar?
She doesn't, and she doesn't correct my wife's grammar, which is much worse than mine. My wife tends to speak faster than her brain works sometimes, and I do the same thing. But I say some rather rude things sometimes, and she doesn't pay much attention. If she married a guy from Pennsylvania, she's heard all that stuff.
Well, the reason I ask is I've had several technical writers over the years, and people that write all the time, you know, really good at grammar, really good at spelling, really good at sentence structure, and don't put the preposition at the end of a sentence, all that kind of stuff. And every time I'm talking to one of those, it's like you got to be on your P's and Q's when you're talking to them, because the ones that I know will correct you in a heartbeat when you say something wrong.
Has her dad his own reason. She doesn't correct me, but I really haven't noticed it. You know, sometimes she'll roll her eyes, but yeah, you know, that's typical daughter stuff.
Yes, it is. That happens a lot. I think it's because we have really high expectations of them, and they live in the real world, and so that's all they can do.
They could disown us, Dave, but it's generally not a good idea. But she was a good student, and she went to Winthrop, and she was a good student at Winthrop, and she worked there. We'd originally lived in Rock Hill. We moved there in 78 and left in 91 or 92, I think. So she knew the area, but when we got down here, she went to Hannah here and graduated from Hannah. We went down here. She was thinking about going to Clemson, and then for some reason or another, she decided to try Winthrop, and she found something she was interested in and stuck with it. Several of her friends here went there, and she got a lot of friends all over the place, but she's won, I think she just won her sixth Emmy. You know, it's a Southeast Regional Emmy. Won her sixth one about a week or so ago. She won a Peabody, which is a pretty good deal. Edward R. Murrow Awards and that sort of thing. So she was doing all the Chronicles when they were doing that, when they did the thing on Biltmore and that sort of thing. She worked up Biltmore and did all that. And even when my wife and I went up there a couple of years ago, they actually had her Chronicle running on one of the TVs in the main hotel there. So that was interesting. It made me proud to see something like that that she'd worked on.
Well, that is good. That lets you know you did a good job. That's something to be proud of. W4DJW.
I say she raised herself because she did, but I think her mother had more to do with it than I did. I was working a lot at the time. But that's just another thing. I don't know. I don't know. I'm upstairs. I don't have a TV anywhere I could check out. But maybe it won't be too bad. You know, I'm always more uneasy about the ice and sleet than I am snow. Snow's not a big deal, but you know, we usually get, you know, a quarter inch of ice here would do a lot of damage.
Well, I just pulled up the weather for tomorrow, and all it says is rain. It's 77% chance of rain tomorrow, And Saturday, 2% chance of precipitation and no more. Nothing about snow. So I guess the snow is off. Well, hopefully it is.
It might have been last night when I looked at it, to be frank, Dave. I'm not sure. I thought, man, but it was right on the edge. It looked like it might have been right on the edge of the state line, maybe. I was paying real close attention. I just saw a band across there, supposedly, but a predicted band. But, yeah, stuff changes. Anything of, you know, I know, I was talking to one of the guys, and I know you're well aware of this, but, you know, when they built 85, they built it below the line so that, you know, it wouldn't, if you built it a few miles one way or the other, it would get up into the area where, you know, if they originally built it along one of the rail lines up around Clemson up that way, they thought they might get into more problems snow as it headed north, and they built it a little further south.
Well, maybe that's why. That's why a lot of the times the weather cuts off at 85, right? It changes. Like if it's snowing here, it'll be snowing above 85, but won't be snowing south of 85. Maybe they knew more than we think they knew.
Yeah, my first cousin was he's a DOT guy for the state of North Carolina. He was pretty high up in the state, and he was. He was living in Waynesville, I think, at the time, and he was, you know, they were doing all this stuff, you know, all these rock slides you see up on I-40 and up that way. He was doing a lot of work on the rock slides. This has been 25 years ago, I guess. And he was telling me that story, and I said, really? And I only heard this maybe about 10 or 15 years ago. And he said, yeah, did they really, he said, they took into consideration, you know, where that weather line would be to minimize the amount of snow that the interstate would take. Minimize the amount of snow that might accumulate on the interstate. He said, you know, things change and the weather patterns change as people build and, even if it's just a microclimate change the climate of living by taking a bunch of trees out or something, warming it up. And he said, it's probably changed something. He said, they did take that into consideration. I said, well, yeah, I'd never heard that before, but like you said, maybe they're smarter than I know.
Well, they are in it. I mean, they were in it for a living, right? So they've got a lot deeper into it than we ever get into it, most likely. I'm still amazed at stuff like that when you go up there and you see the roads that cut through solid rock and you can see the drill holes where they drilled a round hole like an inch in diameter and dropped dynamite in there and blew off the side of the hill. And now the cars can go by there, and you can still see those where those drill rods were and where the dynamite broke the granite apart. That's a lot of work. Got a lot of respect for those guys, W4DJW.
North Carolina and northern Georgia as well, some of the places, especially the interstates. But when I traveled for about 15 years in sales and run into all kinds of people when you're traveling and staying in hotels and motels and stuff. And I ran into one guy. I was down in Opelika, Alabama, and ran into one guy, and we were sitting at the bar, of course, talking, and he asked me where I was from, and I told him Hartwell from Georgia. And he said, well, you know, he said, I handle most of this. He worked for Hercules, and that's the, you know, powder people, gunpowder people, basically. Explosives. And he said, I work to handle most of the explosive Fort Dam. I said, you kidding? He said, nope. And he said, it took a lot. You know, they use the same thing that the bad guys use. You know, they use some type of igniter. You know, usually I think it's red azide or something. I can't remember if that's the correct chemical term for it or not. But it's some type of igniter, diesel fuel, and ammonium nitrate. It's the same thing that the bad guys use. We just use a lot more of it. And I remember my dad went on tour during World War II. He said it was nothing when they were building railroads in India. Somebody in there, he said, just blow the whole side of a mountain off. He said they just crumble like a dried up dirt cloud you see in a field.
That is amazing. You ever watch those? Ever watch the Gold Rush? I think it's on regular TV. We used to record that for a while and then go back and watch them after they were recorded so we didn't have to sit through the commercials. You ever watch them move dirt and move earth?
Dave, I've watched that a number of times. And the thing that always amazes me is this equipment these guys use. They've got millions of dollars worth of equipment, I imagine. Those excavators, they don't give those things away.
And those dump trucks are as big as a house. You see the little tiny person that walks out in front of the dump truck. They don't even come up to the bottom of the front bumper. That's at the 6 feet tall. You look up to the other side of the wheel, and it's like 30 feet up, as tall as a telephone pole. Those things are enormous. Yeah, you got a lot of respect for those guys. These guys move mountains in days.
I don't know if it's the same group, it's probably the same guys or similar guys that get in the salt water, deep salt water stuff and start looking for gold in Alaska. And getting in the cold water and a wetsuit, that just looks like that's about the most dangerous thing you could do and have something be in a cave somewhere and have it cave in on you. They couldn't exactly pull you out complete.
Yeah, I think they call that whitewater gold rush or something like that. But I saw that one too, where they've got little tiny skimmers that they pass the water and the dirt over with the little catch trays and all that stuff to catch the gold being heavier than everything else that's flowing down. Yeah, I forget the terminology they use for that, but they got a down pat. They figure out how to do it. Yeah, I would not get in a wetsuit with snow all around on the ground and go underwater. In a mountain creek. I mean, that's just, you got to have the drive for gold, I guess. You got to have that desire. I don't have that desire for gold.
Friend of mine, I think he works for Caterpillar now, but he got interested in metal detecting initially, then he got interested in doing some gold prospecting. And he bought one of his little similar thing like you're talking about. It's just a mini dredge is what it amounted to. It had a 2-inch diameter hose. And he was sitting on like an inner tube. And he was hauling that thing around different places. And, you're not supposed to do that on federal land. I don't know if they permit it now or not, but it's the time. It's been a good while back. And he was going up in the National Forest, up here in Oklahoma, in those creeks and some of those trout stream type creeks, and just dredging up there. And I told him, I said, I don't think that's a good idea. I said, I believe they might arrest you. And I said, it's probably a federal crime if they do catch you. And I think he backed away then, but yeah, it was about the size of a car inner tube or something like that. But it was a neat looking little deal, and it worked. I mean, it moved a lot of material.
Yeah, that's that would pay. I know some of those guys, they get licenses for a specific area to do that work in, and when that license expires, it's not available to them anymore. They can't mine that area anymore. So, I think you're right. Anyway, I see where people are starting to send the emails at work. So, my work day's not over yet. I need to get back to it and wrap it up. Anyway, good talking to you, and catch you later. Maybe we'll go flying sometime. W4DJW.
Have a good afternoon, Dave. Good talking with you again. W4DJW and 4DJC.